fotoana dia sisaka izay mianatena Andriamanitra isika.
It's good to be with you this morning. While we were worshiping, I just had a few thoughts going through my mind that I want to share before I preach. There's a story somewhere in the Old Testament about one of the characters in the Bible. It may be Jehu. And the phrase that I remember from that story was this line, "Let me show you my zeal, let me show you my passion, my enthusiasm." Something's happening there, and the guy jumps in the chariot. You know, it's like his car. And then he's off at full speed. And I don't know if you've seen that before, but like if a guy gets something that he's enthusiastic about, he wants to demonstrate it to you, he wants to show it to you. Young guy and a student, then if somebody got a new hi-fi, They'd say, "Come hear it," and then they would put it on maximum. There's no point showing it off if you don't show it off. And when we first got the opportunity to drive a car, you'd get your friend in your car and you'd say, "Let me show you how fast it can go." And I thought about that passion for God that we're supposed to have inside of us. And how do we learn to worship? How do we learn to demonstrate our passion for God? Well, mostly younger Christians learn from older Christians. Children look at their parents. And in the faith, the less mature believer will look at the more mature believer.
And
in when you're little kids, there's this game called following the leader. Because people are supposed to imitate those who are leading them. When you come into this church and you worship, you should be the guy who's saying, "Let me show you my zeal." Because someone else who's a younger Christian is watching you. And they're looking at you to see, how do I worship God? Is this person passionate for God, and how do they express it? And I think even the guys that who are leaders in the church, the elders, the deacons, I'm telling you guys, you deacons, you elders, people are watching. Because they want to see if you have zeal. Do we love God or are we just pretending?
But that's
for all of us. Let's demonstrate our passion for God so other people can see it.
That's
why I love it when I look over my shoulder and I see hands lifted at the back of the room. Because the people are showing their zeal.
Yes.
Okay, that's my just what I had on my heart. But now to preach. We're doing a series, and the series is a foundations for our faith. We spoke about salvation, water baptism. That was the second week of this course. And many weeks later, we're now going to do baptisms.
But
you see, there's a practical aspect to our knowledge. You apply your knowledge. And then we spoke about baptism in the Holy Spirit.
The
Father heart of God. That God is our Father and we're in relationship with Him. And then we looked at worship. And prayer.
Vavak.
And when I taught on worship, what were you expecting the result would be? Somewhere in your life you'll worship. You'll worship God on a Sunday, you'll worship God on a Monday. There was going to be a result. It's not just an idea, it's a practice. And if we teach on prayer, we also expect that somewhere in your life you will pray. Have you prayed ever? Often? Well, this is the thing about when we teach things, it's not just for the idea, it's because in our lives we have to apply it.
And so
the topic today is fasting.
Oh,
this one's not exciting.
I mean,
we can't just teach on it and never do it. But you can relax. I'm not going to announce a fast. But one day when we do announce a fast, you should say, yes, I want to be in. I want to be part of that. If you understand what I teach today, you will want to fast even if you don't like fasting. So, there's just 4 points. What is fasting? Why should we fast? When should we fast? And then just a few practical guidelines. So what is fasting? Well, it's from Scripture. It's a discipline that all Christians should be involved in sometime in their life.
Fasting
is abstaining from or stopping from satisfying various physical appetites.
Ni fifatikana te fitanuna nawa na fametano ntena nawa izana tia anme fa fa pua sabata isakarazana arapata ni omfiananao.
For the sake of prayer and seeking God. So it could be abstaining from food. It could be abstaining from certain drinks. It could be abstaining from body lotions and deodorant. No perfume. I hope it's a short fast then. But the important part is it's for the sake of prayer. There's a spiritual component to it. If you were fasting just, you know, without prayer, without a spiritual aspect, then it's just a diet. Actually, fasting is supposed to sharpen us spiritually, to make us more aware and more sensitive spiritually.
And we
understand fasting as a spiritual discipline that's in Scripture. That's where we learned it from.
So
I want to build a kind of a biblical position for fasting. Why should we fast? It's my second
point.
Well, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1 to
2,
it speaks about how these crowds are following Jesus, and then he withdraws from them and goes up a hill and he sits down and begins to teach his disciples.
I don't know if you have the text,
Matthew 5, verse 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. You can read it.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's Jesus talking to? His disciples. Not everyone. His disciples. And he's teaching. And he begins to teach them many things which you can read in chapter 5 and chapter
6.
He teaches about prayer. And then in chapter 6 he's teaching about fasting. And we could read Matthew chapter 6 from verse 16 to
18. Aram fadiana yanareu, aza metu taakan piatara filati, ze malayel tare, fa mapsutsutun tavanizmba uitan nulla fam fadi, la secom nareo marnat ku fa yefazun falptin, fa yanareukus, ram fadian, te usurin luanareu, arsa son tavanau, bati uitan nulla fam fadi, fa uitan rainau ze yawa mangingin.
So, the interesting phrasing here is he doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast.
Teni ten malinet dilewe tsum tenizwe aram mfatian nyanareo fauzizwe reefa mfatian nyanareo.
So he's making a basic assumption that disciples fast.
It's
not a question of choice if you do it, if it's your decision. No, he says when you do it, it's going to happen sometime. And then he says, but don't make it a big heavy thing that you're showing off how much you're suffering. So the Pharisees, the hypocrites, they used to fast so that people felt sorry for them.
Then
the people put them on a pedestal. Oh, you're so spiritual. Jesus says fasting isn't showing off how spiritual you are. So he says, anoint your head, wash your face, so you put on deodorant. Do it. And then he says, those other hypocrites, they've received their reward. But he says, when you do this and nobody else knows, God knows, and you will receive your reward. There's a reward to fasting. I don't know what it is, but get it in heaven, I guess. So we see Jesus expected his disciples would fast. Then interestingly, a little bit later in Matthew, there's two groups. There's Jesus' disciples and there's the disciples of John the Baptist. And the disciples of John come up and they accuse Jesus, how come your disciples, maybe it's not the John's disciples, but there's a comparison made between the two. And the accusation is, Jesus, why aren't your disciples fasting when John's disciples are also fasting? So let's look at Matthew 9, verse 14 and 15.
Nahoni zay sy ny fariseo no mifady hanina matetika fa ny mpianatra kosa tsy mba mifady. Ary ho Jesosy taminy, mo mahay misaona va ny avan'ny papakatra raha mbola ao amin'ny ihanyny papakatra? Fa ho avy ny andro izay anesorana amin'ny papakatra hiala aminy dia amin'izay vao hifady izy.
What does that mean? What does it say?
Inona ny dikan'izay? Inona ny lazain'izay?
Is it, he says they will fast. But the bridegroom is with them, so there's no need for them to fast now, but when he goes, they'll fast.
It's
good news. When we go to be with Jesus, it's not going to be fasting, it's going to be feasting in heaven. It begins with the wedding feast of the Lamb. Bad news. Well, Jesus is in heaven and we're on earth. The bridegroom is there and the bride is here. You know what a bride does before the wedding day?
She's
getting her dress made.
She's planning
the haircut. The makeup. And I promise you, she's not eating all she can. She doesn't want to arrive at the wedding looking like the Michelin man, you know, the fat. You don't know that advertisement, but Michelin car tires, the guy is this like full of tires. He's a fat guy.
It's
like a marshmallow. She's worried about herself, how good she can make herself look for her husband. I guess fasting for the church is a bit of that concern. How can I prepare myself for Jesus? It's not about being physically fat or lazy. It's about being spiritually lazy and uncommitted, and we want to discipline ourselves to focus on spiritual things. Our flesh, our carnal, our sinful nature is actually always there trying to take us away from God. It's hard to pray. It's hard to read your Bible. And sometimes you say, well, I'm going to actually bring discipline over myself and I want to sharpen my spiritual self.
And
so I'm going to set myself apart. I'm going to stop eating so that my flesh is being denied and the voice of my flesh is being silenced. And the spiritual senses become clearer, they become louder. So did these guys start fasting? Well, we know that Jesus died, he rose again, and then he ascended to heaven. And then we see in Acts chapter 13, they need to make an important decision. It's an important spiritual decision. They need to hear from God.
But
if all you're hearing from is your physical desires, your flesh, it's hard to hear from God. And so if we read Acts 13 verse 1 and 2,
Ni nande fasana Barnabas soli u misionera sene nampianaran tao Kipros arte wam fiangunana tany Antiokia nisi pamnan si papianatra Barnabas Simeon izay atao hoe Nigera si Lusio Kirenian si Menaema izay niulununu tamni Eroda panapak arsoli arana no fan popivavana wan tumpsen fatian reu de wind fanai masen akatuni atkani wai Barnabas si sol anoniasa zayefa nyantu kwazi.
So what does it say in verse 2? While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit spoke. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, but we just won't set ourselves apart to listen. So you could say fasting is this opportunity for you to just say, God, I'm stopping myself and all my indulgences because I want to focus on you. So this is what we see. We see that Jesus expected fasting would take place. He said it will take place after I go back to heaven. His disciples then fasted. In Acts, we see that.
So
here we can start to see there are benefits to fasting. It seems that you hear God more clearly. You may need to receive guidance from God. Or maybe you need a breakthrough in spiritual conflict. There's a spiritual battle around your life and you need a victory. See, Jesus, when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him and led him into the wilderness and he fasted. And guess what happens? He fasts, he gets tested. And then as he returns, the Bible describes him as coming back in the power, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we're always trying to live in the power of the flesh. Just give me more vary. And then I can be strong.
But
actually, spiritually, you'll just be slow. You'll just be weak and unsatisfied spiritually. But when you put the flesh down, the spirit rises up. You come in the power of God. Jesus first fasted and then he faced the enemy and he overcame.
See,
when you fast, you actually weaken the power of temptation over your flesh. If you're tempted to pornography, you could fast, you will find you become spiritually stronger to resist temptation.
Avakam
But I'm not talking about a hunger strike starvation. I'm talking about fasting and praying and seeking the power of the Spirit. Maybe you're tempted by somebody else to flirt with them and you're married or you're being tempted towards an affair. It's an appetite of the flesh. But when you fast, you put it back in its place. You say, get down and submit. My desires must submit to God's spiritual call on my life. And so then if you're battling, you fast. And even just by subduing your desire for food by putting it down, you're
will
find you're also putting down sinful desires of every kind. So when you're in a spiritual battle, fasting might be one of the weapons you have for victory. We see this in the Old Testament. There was a vast army that came against God's people. And they fasted, and God gave them the victory. These are not just stories, they're actually guides for us, they're instructions. Now there are other good reasons to fast that are just purely physical. Guess what happens when you fast? Your body starts to clean out some of the waste and the
junk.
Sometimes if you fast for maybe 3 days, maybe drinking only water, your body starts to get rid of toxins and things that are not supposed to be there. And often it starts with a headache because you miss your tea or coffee. And maybe by the second day you're feeling dizzy and a bit weak. And on the third day you feel your strength come back. Because your body is actually doing something that it never normally gets to do. So it can actually be of benefit to your body if you fast the right way, if you fast following good guidelines. In the average day, human beings spend something between 2 and 4 hours on meals. So if you fast, you get a lot more time in your day. Got a lot of work to do, there's a lot of pressure on your life, fast and you'll actually have extra hours.
Rabeta pensa mata tokony atao nao apetsaka levesatra manery anao mifatihana te azo fotona lavalava kokoa ianao.
And some of your body organs actually get a reset opportunity or a rest period when you fast. In fact, at the moment, the internet is full of people saying the best thing you can do is fast one day a week or intermittent fasting, not eating for 18 hours.
Hitatsika any amin'ny internet any betabe ohatra hoe miteny ny fivadikanina tsara indrindra dia indray mandeha isan-kerinandro na
fasting for like 18 hours, intermittent fasting.
Na hoe mifadihanina mandritra ny adiny 8 izany ianao tsy mihinana.
They say if you only eat food in 6 hours of the day and the other 18 is nothing but water. So you have a good meal at 12 o'clock and by 6 p.m. you finish your supper.
You
know what happens to your body? Blood pressure comes down. Blood sugar stabilizes. Many improvements. Unsaved people see physical benefits to fasting. But you know what Christians do? They're like, oh no, I'm scared. So, there are benefits. Thirdly, how should we fast? Well, there's in the Bible we see about 3 different kinds of fasting. The normal fast was just no solids. So you could drink, you know, water. It's very important that you drink water. A human being can go without solid food for a couple of weeks. But if you stop drinking water, you could be dead within 4 days. So a normal fast was just to stop eating solid food. And that could be just from sunrise to sunset, or for 1 day, or for 3 days. Then we see partial fasts, which are like Daniel.
Daniel,
when challenged to eat the wrong foods, he kind of said, no, we're going to just have vegetables.
Daniel,
there were no delicacies, no chocolate. There was no meat. That's what made it tough. There was no wine. And no lotions. And after 3 weeks like that, he and his guys, they were stronger than everybody else. So that's kind of a partial fast. You could do it, you could decide, I want to fast like Daniel fasted.
Or
in 1 Corinthians 7, it says you could choose to, with agreement from your spouse to abstain from sex.
Na any amin'ny korintiana toko korintiana voalohany toko fafitoany koa hoe afaka mifanaiky amin'ny vadinao ianao hoe tsy misy fanaovana firaisana ohatra.
I imagine that two Christian, a Christian husband, a Christian wife agreeing together to set themselves apart to pray. And Paul obviously thinks that prayer isn't so important that you should give up sex, because he says right after that it should only be for a short time.
So
don't go to your spouse and say, you know, you're going to pray from now on and not ever do, you know, intimate stuff anymore. The third kind of fast in the Bible was an absolute fast, which means nothing, no water, no food.
And
that was very unusual. It's not really recommended for an ordinary Christian these days to do that kind of fast, because it's kind of dangerous.
Physically.
There's an example in Ezra chapter
10.
Or in Esther chapter
4.
And in Acts chapter 9. Paul, for example, after he met Jesus, he just stopped eating and drinking for a couple of days.
3 days.
But those fasts were almost radically, supernaturally initiated. God spoke very clearly. So I wouldn't recommend an absolute fast unless you have a very, very clear word from God. When should we fast? Well, when called by the Spirit to do so, like Jesus after his baptism, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and he was called into that situation, and he knew he should fast because the Holy Spirit gave him that conviction. The other time you should fast is when the church calls a fast, when the leaders say, we're setting apart a few days as a church and we're going to fast. So you fast in your spiritual community, in your team. Pharisees fasted. John's disciples fasted. So in the group, there's a sense of we know when we're doing a fast. And then in the church they fasted. We saw that example in Acts
13.
So sometimes the leaders of the church will say, we as a church need to fast because we want to break through or we want to hear from God.
Misy antony tahaka an'izao anaovantsika ilay fifadikanana.
And then the third kind of fasting is when you just choose a date and you set it apart for fasting as your own spiritual discipline.
Teni fa telu e no minse num fidi tati ana kraiwe anuka tena yetom titat tia ifatikhana wani arapanano manukan.
There's no need there to enter into some kind of a competition with others to say you fast more than everybody else. In my life, I've fasted many times. But it's never been like a regular thing. I've never said, okay, every Wednesday I don't eat. In a way, I don't want to be able to tell people, oh, I fast every Wednesday, because that's like spiritual pride. But on the other hand, I'm absolutely convinced that it is good to bring fasting into your life.
So
sometimes I've fasted because I've wanted some kind of a breakthrough in some area of my life. Other times I've fasted just from sunrise to sunset, so hardly anyone will notice. But because I'm fasting that whole day, I feel I'm focused on God more. You may need a big breakthrough in your life. You may say, God, I'm going to take 2 days and I'm going to just fast and pray. Show God your zeal. Show God your sincerity. Maybe you need healing in your marriage or you need a job. Set yourself apart to fast and pray. Live out your faith. And when the church calls a fast, from today you know it's biblical. Come and meet with the church, pray together and fast together. But let us not just think of it as something for some other people at some other time. It's something disciples of Jesus do. And we're the disciples of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So I believe the musicians were going to come up. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.